awesome God. Amen. Amen. You can clap. He's been better than that, actually. Come on, you can clap your hands. You serve an awesome God. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. I just want to thank the praise team for reminding us of what an awesome God we serve. Amen. Song says, I just want to be with you. Anybody just want to be with him today? Amen. One of my favorite scriptures, Psalms 27, verse 4. The one thing I ask of the Lord, one thing I desire of the Lord, the thing I seek most is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. You know, I don't know about you guys, but life, sometimes there's a lot of things that we look for, things that we want. There's things that we got challenges. Amen. Anybody got challenges? Anybody in here got issues? Amen. But so you know one thing that I understand, a lot of things that we look for in life, it's all in his presence. Like he said, in his presence is fullness of joy. And his right hand. So everything that we look for, everything that you need, is where? In the presence of God. So what God is asking us to do is stop seeking for his hand and start looking for his face. More often when we get, just getting into his presence, that's what God is just challenging me to this week in my quiet time. Look, just get into the presence of God. Begin to seek his face. And what he also ends up doing, sometimes our situations may not change, but our perspective changes in the midst of your circumstance. We recognize who is in control. Amen. How many recognize that God is in control? He's sovereign. He's ruler. And we ask, all he wants us to do is start getting comfortable getting in his presence and watch what God will do when we begin to rest in his presence. Amen? Amen. Amen. How many of y'all glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? In fact, I said, how many of you glad to be in the house of the Lord? How many know that everywhere you go is the house of the Lord? The earth is the Lord's. All of it belongs to him. Amen? So while we were worshiping outside, we were still in his house because it all belongs to him. Amen. It's good to be in the building. It's good, as Pastor Mark always says, it's good to see your lovely faces this morning. We expect God. I don't know how many of y'all came expecting God to do something and say something to you this morning. Amen. 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 Anybody? Just one. Amen. When you come into his presence, listen, I love what he said. There's always an exchange that takes place, right? He gives beauty for ashes. Amen. He gives joy for mourning. He gives strength for weakness. How many of us brought some weakness today and need some strength? You're in the right place. It's all in the room. Amen. But we need to begin to walk in the expectation that he's going to deliver, because he's the same God. If he's done it before, he can do it when? Again. And he's just waiting for us to rest in him and to rely on him and to put our faith and trust in him. I praise God. I'm expecting God to do something great this morning, not just in my life, but in your life. Amen? And for those of you who are watching at home, praise God for you. I just want to welcome all of you here and there to Encounter Life Church today. If this is your first time, can we give our visitors a round of applause? Our guests, I don't want to say visitors. Can we give our guests a round of applause today? Amen. Amen. Thank God for you and for you who are joining us today. We don't take it lightly. We're just so glad that you came to join us this morning, whether virtually or in person. I'm so glad that we can be back in the house. We tried this last year and we had to kind of back away a little bit, but it's so glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. But I'm so glad for technology that God has allowed us to be able to shift, to give us what God, the pandemic, what all the other drama has done, it has launched creativity in the body of Christ and allowed us to be able to gather in different ways. So whether you're at home, wherever you are, look, you're still in the house, and we want you to feel that sense of community as well. So what we'd like to do, I want to connect with you and you. So we have a digital connection card for those of you at home, those of you on the seat, if you want to use the digital card. If not, there is a connection card in your seat. We'd ask if you are a guest, if you could fill it out and let us know, look, how you came and found out about Encounter Life Church. Give us some information so we can connect with you. We just want to know who's watching, who's joining us today. And as we go along in the service, again, I said I expect God to show up. I expect God to speak. His word does not return void. As we go along in the service, that same card, even that digital card, we want you to respond to what God is saying to you. If God is drawing you to a deeper commitment, you can indicate that. If you want to be in more community, be in a small group, you can indicate that. If you're in need of prayer, you can indicate that right there on the card. Would y'all do that for me? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Today, listen, could y'all pray with me before we get started this morning? Dear God, Heavenly Father, we are thankful. We are grateful for the opportunity to gather. I thank you that your word doesn't return void. We praise you because you're sovereign and you're ruler and you're great and you're mighty. We thank you, Lord, for being gracious and merciful and long-suffering and for your unconditional love. Show us your face today. God, as we gather in this place, in this building, at home, wherever we are, God, not more information, but what we need is transformation. Change us. Renew our minds as we come to your word. God, take a heart that may be stiff and stubborn, and God, make it malleable and moldable to your will. Let us say yes to what you have for us today. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to continue to thank all of you who have been praying for our family. Y'all know, not this past, but it's been over a week and a half ago, my mother-in-law went home to be with the Lord, Sister Grace Turner. I thank all of you for your prayers for our family. I'll ask you to continue to pray for my wife and her siblings and all of us. It's a challenging time. Amen. We were just, last night, I was just looking at videos of vacation, and my heart just, you know, it makes me happy and sad at the same time, because we were watching a video. My wife said, "Can you pull up the video? One time we went to to Virginia Beach." And I don't know if y'all have ever seen these big balls. You can get inside the ball and you kind of run. It's on the water. Anybody been there? Seen that? Well, I was trying to balance and I could not get it. I mean, I was falling all over the place. My mother-in-law, I have never heard her laugh that hard. They laughed at me so hard. And she was hysterical. She couldn't even breathe. And last night I was just listening. I couldn't even see her, just listening to that laugh. I missed that voice. But I praise God that, listen, though I missed that voice, to be absent from in the body is to be present with the Lord. Aren't you glad for the hope we have in Christ? Aren't you glad for that hope in the midst of all of this mess that we're in this world? That this is not it? Amen. Can I tell y'all, listen, I'm going to tell you one thing. With what has been solidified in my mind, if nothing else, a week and a half ago, when I watched my mother-in-law go home to be with the Lord, is that this body ain't nothing but a tent. Amen. I said, God, this can't be it. This is the whole life is not in this. This body is nothing but a tent. And I praise God that he went to prepare a place for me. That where he is, hallelujah, there I may be also. So what we should do, and look, I love what the word says. Those who have this hope in that should purify themselves. When you got that kind of hope, it ought to make you run to live a certain way. To show him how grateful you are for that. It ought to make you run and tell as many people as you can about this good news, this gospel. Because it is good news. And also, it'll kind of anchor you. I'm so glad the song Douglas Miller, y'all know I used to love to sing it. "But my soul, though the storms keep on raging in my life." Y'all remember that? "And sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day. Still the hope that lies within is reassured as I keep my eyes upon the distant shore. I know he'll lead me safely to that blessed place he has prepared. But the storms don't cease." Hallelujah. "And if the winds keep on blowing, my soul has been anchored in the Lord." Thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad for that hope? Aren't you glad that your soul is anchored in the Lord? In my life. Somebody help me if y'all know them.
And sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day.
Cause Lord, I tell you, sometimes it's hard.
Still that hope that lies within is reassured. As I keep my eyes upon the distant shore, I know he'll lead me safely to that blessed place he has prepared. But if the storms go cease, and if the winds they keep on blowing my life, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. I realize that sometimes in this life we're gonna be tossed,
yes, God,
by the waves and the currents that seem so fierce.
Aren't you glad for the word of God?
But in the word of God, I've got an anchor that keeps me and unmovable beside the time. And if the storm don't cease, and just in case the winds they keep on blowing in my life,
might dash, but I will not sway because he holds me fast. So dark the day, maybe clouds in your sky, but I know it's all right, cause Jesus, he's mine. And my soul's been anchored, my soul's been anchored, my soul's been anchored, my soul. Hallelujah. Come on, if your soul has been anchored. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for our everlasting hope, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, he's worthy. He's worthy. He's a rock you can stand on today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being a rock, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for being faithful, God. Thank you that we can rely on you, God. Hallelujah. In these uncertain times, that we got a rock that we can stand on. Anybody glad you got a rock today? That I can go to the rock, that he's a refuge that I can run into and be safe today. Thank you, Lord. Thank God that my soul is anchored, because the billows will roll. The breakers will dash, but as long as he holds me, no matter what happens, I can stand fast in him. Amen. Song is so fitting. I had no plan on singing that. You know, my sister know my voice cracking and everything else. But the song, God put in my spirit today to talk about God is in control. That's simply the message, that God is in control. We need to know that. I need to know that because, you know, summertime we were sitting around, and I know my sister-in-law and my wife, we were sitting around, and we said, listen, mama, she took care of the people. People she took care of are still here and she's gone. And sometimes we try to understand that, and we look at all this happening along the way, the loved ones we've lost, and the pandemic that's going on, and we can lose sight. Sometimes, I don't know, anybody else felt like life is out of control? I don't know about you guys, but I don't know about you. I hate roller coasters. But life has felt like a roller coaster to me the last 2 years. Anybody with me? I would never get on roller coasters. They could tell you. Anybody who's here, Brother Dave, could tell you. My sister, we would all go to King's Dominion. I'm going to stand here. I would hold y'all stuff till y'all get off. I'm not no shame. Look, I'm grown. Look, you can tell me whatever you want. I'm not getting on that. The Grizzly, too rickety. I'm not feeling it. I don't like the way the seatbelt, too high. I'm not getting on it. I don't like the way it feels. I've been on them. I don't like the feel of what? Not being in control. And life can be like a roller coaster. It can be like a Grizzly. I got to the point where I could tolerate it because I would look at that little, that anybody go up and you see that, say, if you're bigger than this, if you're smaller than this, you can't get on. And I would watch a little boy get on the roller coaster and say, man, you're a grown man, get up on there. But I didn't like the feel of not being in control, going up and knowing I'm getting ready to drop. I don't know when the drop is happening, if this seatbelt is going to hold me. That's not a good feeling. And so I avoided getting on them because I don't like not being in control. And I'm here to tell you, life can take you through some stuff. It has taken us through some stuff where we don't feel like we're in control. And guess what? You're not. But the thing that you have to understand is, see, it's okay. Look, when you fly a plane, anybody else been in a plane? Look, one of the things, a lot of people don't like to fly. But when you're not in control, you got to trust the one who's in control. So that's what makes some of us worry that I don't know the one who's flying this plane. Is he competent enough to do it? If you watch your pilot and your pilot looked inebriated, if he looked drunk when he got on, you would not want to get on there because, look, I don't trust he can control this plane. And today I'm here to tell you, life might feel like it's out of control, but you must trust the one who's in control. And the God has given us reasons to trust him. Sometimes we fear, sometimes we doubt, sometimes we get depressed, we feel overwhelmed because we lost sight of his character. We lost sight of his nature. And today, I'm not going to give you a whole lot of things. If you got a pen, all I want to give you just is a few things to remind you why you can trust God being in control. I'm not going to be before you long. I just want to read a couple of things to give you reason why you can trust the fact that though life might feel topsy-turvy, as long as your soul is anchored in him, you can be okay. Because God said, listen, if you have your Bible, if not, I'm looking at Psalm 135, verse 5 and 6. He says, I know the greatness of the Lord, that our Lord is greater than any other God. The Lord does whatever pleases him. Throughout all heaven and earth and on the seas and in their depths. Then Isaiah 45, and God's talking to Cyrus as he was getting ready to use a pagan king to deal with his people. This is what God says. He says, I'm the Lord, there is no other God. I've equipped you for battle, though you don't even know me. See, God can use whatever he wants to use. So all the world from east to west will know that there is no other God. I am the Lord and there is no other. I create the light and make the darkness. I send the good times and the bad times. I, the Lord, am the one who does these things. God said, I send the good times and the bad times. Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How can you Trust the God to be in control who sends bad times. Because listen, if you know what's behind that, if you know that, listen, his ultimate goal is nothing but for our good, that he promises everything for his good, for our good and for his glory, even when life is like a roller coaster, I can trust that God, you're driving this plane. And I don't like the way this drop feels right now, but I know you're going to get glory out of it in the end. And all I want to do, I'm going to leave you the word control. How many letters in? C-O-N-T-R-O-L. Seven. I'm going to give you seven reasons why you can trust God to be in control of your life. Seven reasons. And you got to remind yourself sometimes of God's character when life gets topsy-turvy. When all hell is breaking loose in your life, you got to remind yourself, number one, letter C, you got to remind yourself that God cares deeply about me. No matter what the drama is going on in my life, I got to remember that God cares deeply about me. Listen, the death is happening around me. There's a pandemic. People have lost jobs. Things are less than ideal. But never forget that God says he cares about you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 26 says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food. For your heavenly Father feeds them, and aren't you far more valuable to them than they are? Go down to verse 28. Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his beauty and all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. Look when he says, and if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, cast all your cares on him. Why? He cares for you. No matter what, look, sometimes it doesn't feel like he cares for me. You got to trust his word. That's why his word is so important. You got to trust his word over your circumstances. I said it the other day. Look, it's facts, faith, and then feelings. The facts is what the word says. I put my faith in the facts, and my feelings have to come later. And the word says, the truth is, he said, he cares, not just a little bit, he cares deeply about you. Romans chapter 8 said, there's nothing can separate you from his love. Death, life, nothing can separate you from the love of God. But listen, he loves you with an unconditional love. Matter of fact, he made you to love you. We're made for a relationship. God designed me and crafted me to be in a relationship with him. So no matter what happens in my life, you got to stand on that truth. Today, you might feel uncared for. He said, if your mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. God cares not just a little bit. He cares deeply for you. He cares deeply for you. And sometimes, that's why Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Yet will I trust him because I know he cares about me. Listen, I want you to write that down, and you got to remind yourself every day, God cares about me. No matter what anybody else says, no matter what happens in my life, God has told me in his word he cares about me, and guess what? He don't lie. He said, I'm not a man that I lie, the son of man that I change my mind. And you know what I love about God caring about me? Him caring for me has nothing to do with my performance. Aren't you glad that God cares about me whether I'm messed up or not? He cares about me in all of my messed upness. He knew I was going to be messed up before I messed up. I love it. I told somebody the other day, you can't disappoint somebody who knows everything. How do you disappoint somebody who knew you were going to mess up before you did it? And he still cares about me. And he loves me just like I am. Church, too often, when I talk about God being in control, we try to be in control so much. We try to even control other people's lives. Listen, we try to get people all cleaned up and all of that. You know what God is calling the church to do? Just care for people like he does. And how does he care for them? In all of their mess, and all of their sin, and all of their imperfection, he still loves them. One of my friends said, man, we are always trying to clean the fish before we catch the fish. God didn't come clean you up and then come get you. He caught you just like you are. And guess what? He cared deeply for you just like you are. Remember that. Man, I can tell y'all how much that encourages me, because sometimes I could be hard on myself. Anybody be hard on yourself? Dang, I did it again. God, I said I wasn't going to do it. I did it again. And I feel like God is distant from me, like he doesn't love me as much today. Then tomorrow I have my quiet time. I get up, I work out, I love on my wife, I do right by my kids. I didn't yell at my kids. I got all my stuff done for work, and I feel, oh God, I just feel so close to you. He said, I'm just as close to you today as you were yesterday. When you hollered at your kids, you fussed at your wife, you didn't give all the time you did it, what goes through at work, guess what? I love you just as much yesterday. He cares deeply for you. And that's why you can trust him to be in control. See, it's something about trusting somebody that you know cares about you. They got nothing but your best interests at heart. That's number one. He cares about you. But another reason why you can trust God being in control, he's in control, and why you can trust that and why you need to rest in that is the letter O, is because why? He owns it all. He owns it all. Listen, man, how many of y'all have kids? I got kids. My children are 13, 10, and 8. And it's funny when they think they own something. Daddy, that's mine. Oh, really? Yeah, and it's so funny, like, you know, and the kids will have some. My youngest will be playing with a tablet or playing with something, and he can't get it to work. And he's trying to get it to work, and DJ may come and say, Andrew, give it here, let me fix. No, that's mine. He doesn't want to let him have it, and what all DJ wants to do is fix it, but he doesn't want to let him have it. Why? Because he thinks it's his. And see, life is like that. See, God, when you don't recognize that all the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, you're going to try to hold on to stuff. God, I can't trust you to be in control. God, are you going to be able to handle this? God, what? Because I think stuff is mine. God wants you to recognize nothing is yours. I own it all. He owns it all. Look, Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord, everything in it, the world and all who live in it. One of my favorite Psalms in Psalm 50, he said, listen, if I needed something, I wouldn't ask you. I own a cattle on 1,000 hills. I own it all. When you recognize this is, and if he owns it all, guess what? He knows how it works. He owns it. These are so intimately connected. God cares about me, and he owns it all. That's important. See, because if he owned it all and he didn't care about me, that's a scary person to be in relationship with, isn't it? Somebody who owns everything, but he doesn't love you. He said, listen, my ownership is in the context of my love. I care deeply about you, and I own all of it. I'm here to let you know I'm in control. I am sovereign. God owns it all. Today, we feel out of control because we forget that God, it ain't ours in the first place. And sometimes, I believe God allows us to get on the roller coaster because he wants to remind you of who really owns it all. Amen. How many of y'all have had God take some stuff out of your life because you forgot whose it belonged to? And God said, look, let me remind you, as quickly as you got that, I could take it away because it's mine in the first place. Everything is on loan. You're to be a steward, right? The parable of the talents. You're to be a steward. It's all mine. I'll give it to you. And all I want you to do is use what I've given to you for my glory. It's all about his glory. Today, you can trust God to be in control because he cares about you, but also you got to trust him to be in control. Why? Because you got to recognize nothing belongs to us. Man, God, I get so confused. My car is not mine. My home is not mine. We get, and in this country, we have so much stuff. And we live in this consumer world where we're trying to get more stuff. And then we come to church where the church is trying to utilize the Bible to tell us how we should have more stuff. And God said, listen, I own it all. And can he give me the stuff? Yes, but it ain't about the stuff. It's all about my glory. It's all about my glory. And if I give it to you, it's for me to get glory. If I take it away from you, it's for me to get glory. Understand, control. God is in control. He cares about you, and he owns it all. Begin to live life with a loose grip. I was telling somebody at work the other day, it's really hard for God to bless you. I really believe, it was a young lady I was telling, that God wants to put something into your life, but you're trying to hold on to something that ain't yours in the first place. And so he can't put nothing in any hands that are already clenched. Y'all have you heard that illustration before? God cares about you and he owns it all. But also, you know why you can trust God to be in control today? No matter what the situation, whether it's a pandemic, whether it's healing in your body, whatever it is, you might, listen, it might be a financial need that you have and you feel like out of control. The letter N in control, listen, stands for nothing is too hard for him. You got to remind yourself that nothing is too hard for God. Jeremiah 32, verse 27 said, behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Do you recognize no matter how dire the situation that you're in, there's nothing too hard for God? And a lot of times we come to the Bible. I love the song that I guess it's Elevation Worship. I see you move in mountains, right? Listen, if he's done it before, I'll see you do it what? Again. He's the same God. I was preaching here last week at another church, and I was talking about the three Hebrew boys and how God delivered them out of the fire. And we, a lot of times we look at that and say, oh, like it's like a fairy tale. And that's real. This is God's word. It's truth. If he's done that before, you know he can do it again. If he's parted Red Sea before, he can do it again. If he's healed sickness before, he can do it again. Some of y'all have a testimony of seeing God heal, do that in your life. He's the same God. And sometimes it's been so long since you've seen him move, we forgot and think that he can't do it again. Yes, he can. He wants to, listen, a lot of times, Jesus, the Bible said in the book of Mark, he didn't do too many miracles there. Why? Because of their unbelief. See, it's expectation. When I expect him, God said, I'm not going to show up when you don't even expect me to show up. When you're coming to me praying, you're not even praying like I can do it. It's like, okay, I'm here to tell you, I heard one pastor say this. Look, I always grew up, but when I pray, I would say, Lord willing, right? And that's true because it is the Lord's will. But when I stick that at the end of my prayer a lot of times, that's me giving myself out like, God, just in case you don't want to do it. See, I don't know what it is. I don't know what you're going to do. So I'm going to come to it. God, I'm asking you for this period. And I'm coming and I'm looking for you to do it. And it might not look like what I think it's going to look like, but I expect you to deliver. Why? Because I can come on the strength of your word when I stand on the promises of God. I can ask big because there's nothing too hard for me. How many know there's nothing too hard for God? My son said the other day to me, Daddy, I prayed for mama. I was praying for mama. She didn't get better. He didn't answer my prayer. I said, there's nothing too hard for him. She did get better, son. Just didn't look like what you thought it looked like. There's nothing too hard for him. Yeah, he can heal her. Guess what? You wanted her here. But he said, listen, a man's years are 70, but three score and ten, but if by reason of strength, 80, God answered your prayer. He gave her 85. And guess what? That body is just a shell. Now she's healed. There's no cancer in her body. There's no colostomy bag on her side. Her heart is fully healthy, and she's sitting in the face of Jesus. There's nothing too hard for him. Do you believe that whatever, listen, if he said he can do it, he'll do it. You got to believe that sometimes it don't look like what you think it's going to look like. Because even our will, our desires are so tainted. He's so sovereign. See, he's perfect in all of his ways. Y'all heard this song, you're a good, good father. You're perfect in all of your ways. I'm not. So sometimes my prayer, you know, he got to fix my prayer sometimes. Because my prayer sometimes is steeped in what my will and my flesh is. So sometimes, you know, I ask God for something. He said, oh, yeah, I'm going to answer it, but I'm going to tweak it a little bit. So it can be in line with what my word says. And now, listen, could God have raised her up out that bed? Absolutely. Absolutely. And until he says no, you ask him for it and expect him to do it. Expect him to do it. David, that's what David did. David, when God said, I'm going to take your son, David prayed and he fasted for the healing of that child. And he prayed and he fasted. And until God said no, then he said, okay, now on to the next thing. But until God says no, look, you pray like God, he can do it. Why? Because you got to believe there's nothing too hard for God. What is your situation that you're in right now that looks impossible? Pandemic. I said the other day, Lord, when am I going to stop wearing this mask? Anybody felt like that? There's nothing too hard for God. Lord, when are you going to provide me with a job? There's nothing too hard for God. Amen, Brother Marlon? There's nothing too hard for God. God, when am I, I'm here. When are you going to give me a place to stay? There's nothing too hard for God. Just be faithful to him. God is in control. He cares for you. Look at that. It all starts with his love. Everything is steeped in his love for you. He cares for you. He owns it all. And there's nothing too hard for him. And also the letter T is what you got to understand. Also, the letter T is what you got to remember, that God is in control. T, you got to remember that time is in his hands. Time is in his hands. Listen, he owns it all, and time is in his hands. He does not operate on your timetable. Amen. See, that's the thing about control. A lot of times, some of us have been in a situation, oh, I'm going to give God control for a season. And you don't even say that in your mind. You said, look, I'm going to give this over to God. God, I'm going to wait on you. Then a year passes. God, I've been waiting. 2 years pass. All right, Kate, listen, you might be, Lord, I want to wait for you to bring me this wife. God, I'm praying for a godly woman. I'm waiting. Year passes. Mm-mm. 2 years. God, I'm trying to keep myself pure. And no, not 2 years, it ain't passed. Then you say, God, let me help you out. That's what Abraham did. Abraham, God said, I'm going to bless you with a son. You and Sarah, I'm going to give y'all a son. We almost 100. God, we're going to wait a little bit. Not here yet. Let us help. This is must be what you meant, God. So I'm going to help you. You got to understand time is in his hands. If he said it, he's going to do it. It's just not on your timetable. See, because he's an eternal God. This is the thing. I always say, God, he sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. And he says, I am. That's present tense. He's always in present tense. But I'm in 2021. We are confined to time and space. God sits outside of time and space. So those two kind of get confused. So God is saying, well, I wish that God, I've been waiting for a year. He said, listen, a thousand years are like a day, and a day is like a thousand years to me. What you talking about? You've been waiting. Time is in my hands. He sits outside of time. Do you know God is looking at Abraham and you at the same time? See, your mind can't even compute that. He's always I am. He saw you and Abraham simultaneously. So when I'm waiting for 5 years, 10 years for God to bring me a spouse, he said, it's all just right now to me. So I got to wait on him. Time is in his hands. Job chapter 12, verse 10. For the life of every living thing is in his hand, and the breath of every human being. Listen, God said, listen, I got it. Just wait. They that wait on him will renew their strength. It's about waiting. Lord, I waited for a year. I waited for 2 years. I waited for 3 years. Listen, all of this time, I think about Caleb. You know, Caleb and Joshua. And Joshua and Caleb went to go see the land. And when they went to go see the land, they were in their 40s. And God said, that's going to be your land that I'm going to give you. Joshua and Caleb said, God, let's go get it. All of the homies said, nah, we can't do it. So God said, you don't believe me, go back in the wilderness. Then when they went back in the wilderness for 40 years, then when they came, Caleb and Joshua still strong as ever in their 80s, and he said, listen, give me what's mine. I've been waiting on it. You promised me for it. I can take it. Time is in his hands. Today, I just want to encourage you today. Look, it seemed like a pandemic. When is this over? God said, time is in my hands. All I want you to do is maximize the moment. While we're waiting for time to pass, God said, all you can do is with what I've given you right now. And are you maximizing the moment? Are you living for my glory in the moment? That's what God wants you to do. So often, we can get so busy looking at what we want tomorrow that we're not doing anything today. Because I just want this, I want that. And God said, I got all kind of opportunity, all kind of stuff around you that I want to use you for to bring glory to me. focus on where I have you in the moment. Stop trying to move so fast. Because I'm here to tell you, God's timing is perfect timing. You don't want anything. Look, you don't want what God has for you outside of the timing he has for you. You don't want it before you're ready. Because you're going to spoil it. You're going to ruin it. You don't want anything before it's time. God, listen, but he's in control. He cares deeply about you. He owns it all. Nothing is too hard for him. Time is in his hands. Letter R is, you know what else you can understand today? I want you to remember this. When life looks scary, when you're on that roller coaster, remember that he's a refuge in time of danger. Remember that he promised to be a refuge. The Lord is my refuge and strength. What is a refuge? A shelter or protection from danger and trouble. He's a refuge. He said, that's one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. Listen, we the righteous are to run into him. He's a refuge, but what he wants us to find our refuge in him and not other things. He's a refuge. He's a shelter from danger. But what my question is, when life presents you with dangerous situations, when life gets you on that roller coaster, do you run to him for the refuge or do you run to other people? Where do you run? Where do you run? See, listen, God is asking you, look, right now, life has gone haywire. Sometimes he does that to reveal to you who you really think your refuge is. Sometimes I can try to go to my spouse. I can try to go to work and try to go to money, try to get another job. God said, no, I want to be that place you run to first. But he is a refuge, an ever-present help in your time of trouble. Do you go to God in your times of trouble? Do you remember that he's a refuge there for you? That he has nothing but good planned for you? That he cares for you? That he cares for you? That there's nothing too hard for him? Can I tell y'all, this is convicting because I don't naturally do that all the time. Anybody else with me? Some of y'all are probably a little bit more spiritual than me, but I'm the Mr. Fix-It kind of guy. When things don't seem to go well, I'm trying to figure out, okay, now what's the hookup I can do now to try to get this right? Anybody, I'm by myself, y'all quiet as a mother. At home, anybody, I don't know. When things aren't right, when the money ain't right, my first place I should go, Lord, to my knees. Next thing I'm going to do is say, okay, do I need to sell something? Do I need to get another job, another hustle? What do I need to do? Instead of saying, Lord, we don't have the resources. You own it all. Can you release some of what you own and give it to us? So that we can accomplish what you call us to do. Listen, that's what we get to do. We get to try to fix it. God said, I want to be your refuge. I want you to run into me and find safety. God is in control. The reason why I'm giving you all of these is because I say God is in control, but it's very hard for me to sometimes hold on to that if I forget his nature. And I pray that as we go through these seven different things, that this week, that I recount them, that I remind myself, he promised to be my refuge. When I'm tempted to pick up the phone to call somebody, no, instead of picking up the phone, fall on my face. Fall on my face, get on my knees, say, God, listen, I need you. You're my refuge. I'm coming to rely on you. He's a refuge. The next letter in control is O, which you got to also understand is he's a refuge. And you know what he's also promised to do? Order your steps. Man, he's a good God. He said, listen, I promise to be your refuge, and I also promise to guide and direct you in the way that you should go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And what he will give your path direction. Aren't you glad you don't have to guess? Man, I know all of us use Waze. Anybody use Waze around here? I know I use Waze. I use Waze when I know where I'm going. Anybody like that? My kids are like, Daddy, why you put on Waze? We just going to church. This is like a habit. Okay, I need to know all the traffic, but I want to know, is there a shorter route to get there? How many of y'all have ever put on Waze or Google Maps and it's telling you go this way? It's like, man, they don't know what in the world they talking about. This is way shorter. And I don't use Waze and I go my way and I'm in traffic for an hour. Anybody been there? That's happened to me where, like, man, I don't even like the way they're telling me to go. So I'm going to go the way that I know and I like, that I think is shorter. And next thing you know, like, dang, I should have listened to them thing. He orders your steps. And you know where it starts? In your word. He will guide your feet. Psalm 32, verse 8 said, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Isn't that good? He said, look, I'll guide you on the best pathway for your life. Stop trying to make your own plans. What we ask, we get to asking God to bless our plans. He wants us to get into the point where, Lord, show me what plans I need to make. He said, I order your steps. When you commit your ways to me, I will establish your plans, his word says. I will establish your plan. You want your stuff to be successful, give it to God. He promises to guide your steps. You know why he'll guide your steps in the way you should go? Because his glory is connected to it. See, that's a good thing. You can't lose, because his glory is always connected to it. It is for him to get glory. So I said, God, I want to know where you have me to go. And when you do that, listen, he is glorified. It's for your good and his what? Glory. I'm at the last one. Let's start at the beginning. God is in control. This morning, if you're on that roller coaster, all of us are. 2020, 2021 has been a roller coaster. I want you, number one, to remember that God cares deeply about you. God cares deeply about you. Next thing you got to also remember, never forget, he cares deeply about you and he owns all of it. All of it belongs to him. Nothing that you have is yours. You're just a steward of it all. Not only that, listen, the next letter in N is what? There's nothing too hard for God. Isn't that a good? There's nothing too hard for God. God is in control. There's nothing too hard for him. What's the next letter? T? Y'all help me. I can't spell. What is the next letter? Time is in his hands. Y'all see me flipping? I can't even remember. I'm getting old. Nothing is too hard for him, and time is in his hands. We are finite. He's infinite, and we got to wait on him. When we wait on him, he'll renew our strength. And you know, when the thing about waiting on God, I know this is an aside. How many of y'all have ever waited on something, and then what you wanted, you didn't even want it anymore after you waited long enough? Anybody like that? Like, I gotta have it, gotta have it. And the longer you wait, you don't even want it. God said, just wait on me. You know why? He wants to change. Listen, he wants us to delight ourselves in him, and he'll give us the desires of our heart. Wait on him. We get to rushing, and you'll recognize, but God, that wasn't, I ain't want that no way. Right? Wait on him. Time is in his hands. R is what? He's a refuge in time of danger. The righteous can run into him, find safety. Oh, he will order your steps. And you know what the last letter is? When I recognize all these things, when I put all that together, you know what it makes me want to do? The last one is on me. When I recognize I got a God who cares deeply about me, he owns it all, nothing is too hard for him, time is in his hands, he's a refuge from danger, he promises to order my steps, you know what the last thing is on me? You know what I want to do now? Leave my life in his hands. When I can grasp on to that, then it makes me more comfortable. God, listen, what is it that you would have me to do? Because I believe that you said that you're going to do what you say you will do. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, when you trust in him, that's a matter of trust. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. God, listen, I know life is haywire. All hell is breaking loose. There's a pandemic. There's just all of this stuff on my job. My marriage may not be like it should be, but I'm going to leave my life in your hands. Why? Because you care about me. And you promise in Romans that you will do nothing else. All that you do is only for my good. Why? I leave my life in your hands, God, because my life is not my own in the first place. It all belongs to you. You created me in your image. I leave my life in your hands, God, because you demonstrated you can do the supernatural. You're the omnipotent God, and there's nothing too hard for you. That's why I can rest in you. God, I rest in you because time is in your hands. I know I get impatient, God, but you sit outside of time and you see the end from the beginning. That's why I can rest in you. That's why I can leave control to you, because you promised, God, to be my shelter. You promised to be my refuge, and you promised to order my steps. So today I leave my life in your hands. No matter what's going on around me, I lost a loved one. I don't understand it, God, but I leave her life in your hands. He is in control. Today, I just wanted to encourage somebody today, because life can be just like me in that roller coaster when I was a boy. Up, 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 coming down, my stomach going up and down, feel like I'm about to die. Lord, what is happening? God said, look, I got you in it, but guess what? I'm in control. And I'm going to take you to the desired end. And the desired end, where I'm taking you, guess what? God will be glorified. And when he's glorified, you know what it does? It draws other people to him. Do y'all know that's why we're here today? I want to close with this. I say this all the time. When you walk into this building, there's on that wall, it says, we exist to exalt his presence. We exist to lift him up. And then exalting him is connected. We do that so that we can what? Enlarge his kingdom. That's why we're here. We want his kingdom to be enlarged so that other people can come to know this God who cares deeply about them. Amen? Can you stand on your feet with me? God is in control. Today, there's somebody today who's watching at home. You're right here, and you have been hesitant to give him control of your life. And it's hard to give control to somebody that you don't trust. And it's hard to trust somebody you don't have a relationship with. Maybe that the hesitance is because of the nature of your relationship is not what it should be. Today, I want to invite you, number one, there's somebody who may not even be in relationship with God. I want to invite you into a relationship with the God of the universe. Look, he desires to have an intimate relationship with you. He made you to love you. And the only way for you to have an intimate relationship with God, we talked about his nature. We talked about all of these things. But one thing that I didn't mention about God, that God is perfect. He's sinless. And he's perfect and sinless, but I am not perfect and sinless. And his word says that he sits in inapproachable light. He cannot tolerate imperfection in his presence. So the only way for you and I to have a relationship with God is either what has to happen is we got to become perfect, or somebody's got to give us perfection some kind of way. So God said, look, this is what I want to do. I made you to love you, and I also gave you a free will to choose me, and you didn't choose me, so you were separated from me because of your sin. Sin just means be imperfection. So what God said, I love you so much, is this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to come and give a gift of myself. I'm going to live just like you live. I'm going to come to this earth, walk with you, live with you, and I'm going to, so that I can qualify to be a sacrifice, but I'm not going to sin, not one time. Why was that necessary? It was necessary because the Bible says without blood being shed, nobody's sins could be forgiven. Sins cannot be forgiven without blood shed. And the only way the sins can be forgiven is if perfect blood has to be shed. Somebody like me had to die for me, but they could not be sinful. The only one that did not sin is God himself. So God became man so that he can qualify to be a sinless sacrifice for you and me. That's how much he loved you. And all you have to do, listen, he came, he lived on this earth, he died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again. And he said, look, if you want to have that relationship with me, it starts with you admit to me that you're not perfect. Believe that I sent Jesus Christ to be the sacrifice for your sins. Believe he was buried, rose again, and make a choice to invite him to your life. And make a choice to invite him to be your substitute, your sacrifice, and make you who he wants you to be. It's that simple. That's how you have that relationship with him, so that you can begin to trust him to be in control. Today, if you're not certain where you stand with God, I want to give you an opportunity to invite him to be Lord of your life. So I'm going to pray a very simple prayer of invitation. It's as simple as ABC. And if you want that relationship with God today through his son Jesus Christ, would you pray after me silently right where you are? At home, right where you are, could you bow your head to say, dear God, thank you for loving me just like I am. I admit today that I have sinned against you. I believe that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross just for me. I believe he was buried and rose again to make me right with God. Today, I invite you to come into my life, take my sin, give me Christ's perfection, make me who you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. If you meant that, whether you're at home or in this building, we want to know about it. First of all, I want to congratulate you on beginning a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, he's promised to take every sin, past, present, and future, and to forgive you. But now he wants you to grow closer to him. We'd like to give you some tools to help you grow. So if you're here, I'm going to stay around right up in here. We want to know about that. Or if you can't stay, that connection card that is in that seat, I want you to indicate, look, I prayed that prayer after you, Pastor. I accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. And I want you to leave that with the brother at the back, Brother Derek, right at the back. You could drop it right there, your card. If you're a guest, if it's your first time here, leave it. Or if you made that decision, indicate that, leave it right there, and we'll get back with you. If you're online, you can fill out that digital connection card I told you about, encounterchurch.net/next. Go to that form and say, look, I accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of my life today. Amen? Finally, if you're here today and you say, look, Pastor, I'm already a follower of Christ, but man, life has been out of control, and I've been trying to control things myself, and it ain't working. And today, I want to leave my life in his hands. I want to say, God, I've lost sight. Forgive me for losing sight of how much you care for me. And you say, I want to recommit myself to trusting and walking with you. If that's you, I want to pray a prayer of recommitment for somebody today. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters who are here. I pray, Heavenly Father, now for those, Lord God, whose life is, Lord, it's gone crazy. It could have been a lost loved one, a lost job, a financial trouble, some area of their life, Lord God, has gone out of control. And God, they've been trying to control it themselves. Today they come to say, God, they relinquish control of that life, Lord, control of that situation and give it to you. Show yourself strong in their situation. Remind them, God, that there's nothing too hard for you. We bless you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we applaud him today? Amen. If you want to recommit your life to walking closer with God, giving him full control, you can let us know on that form as well. The same form, say, look, I recommitted my life to Christ. Look, you can come let me know. I'll be here. You can say, Pastor, look, it's me. I've been trying to control it myself. I want to recommit myself to leaving my life in his hands. You could just let me know. We want to pray with you. Amen? Amen. God bless you. You may have your seat. Amen.
To make you strong.
Amen. Before we close out today, Brother, I'm going to ask the worship ministry to come again in a moment. But we want to give you an opportunity to honor God with your resources, because he does own it all. Amen. He owns it all. And we want to be able to take the resources God has given to us and to give honor to him by giving, so that the body of Christ can do the work God has called us to do. Amen. And we praise God. I praise God for all of you, for just your giving, your liberal giving during this time that God is a miracle worker. Amen. Brother Marvin, is he a miracle worker? Has he sustained us in a pandemic? God is good. Amen. He sustained us, and we thank God for that. And that's largely due to God using you and your faithful gifts. So we're going to give you an opportunity to give at this time virtually. If you want to give online, you can give right on our church website, encounterchurch.net. You can give via Cash App, and it's the $ Encounter Life. You can give that way as well. Brother Derek, Brother Ethan are going to come at this time. I'm going to ask if you guys can come back and just minister to us as we give before we close out today. Amen. God bless you.